Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. We've got a packed lineup of guests for you today. I'm going to be joined later in the show for a catch-up by Jules with some more of her ranting, which we look forward to. I see she's been upsetting everybody on Twitter again. Listen, we'd love to hear from you, all those businesses out there in the southeast of England. The government announced a new roadmap out of lockdown yesterday. I'm sure you've all seen the details and discussed the strangeness of some of them and the excitement of some of the others. And we're all looking forward to seeing what we can do and basically looking forward to getting out of this and getting away from lockdown eventually. So I'm not going to go into each and every detail of it, but if anybody's got any queries about it, then do tweet in and we'll see if we can answer them. But the information's out there anyway already, and I think everybody knows full well where they can do things over the next 3 months. excuse me. So I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with DG East. They're independent new and used vehicle suppliers and services. They supply car and light commercial vehicles, utilising a majority of the UK-based leasing operators' services. You can find out all about them by going to their website, which is www.dgeast.co.uk. A huge thank you to them for supporting the Business Bunker Show. Without such organisations, we couldn't do what we do. So it's a big thank you to them. We'd like to hear from you, as I said, and the easiest way to do that is to tweet me. If you tweet me at VanillaWeb and use the hashtag BBunker, then we will find your tweet and we will give you a shout out and we can interact with you. We've had quite a few tweets already, actually, which is good. Lots of different things to talk about. I'm going to start off with some tweets that we've had. Tracy Ann Barker, she says it's her testimonial Tuesday. You can book a 30-minute no obligation discovery call with her, and her hashtags are good manager, leadership training, coaching, testimonial Tuesday. Look, the easiest way to do that is to follow her on Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Tabba, T-A-B-A, underscore official. That's Tracy Ann Barker on the Twitter with a 30-minute no-obligation call. Check that out. The lovely Tamsin Fox Davis. I haven't spoken to Tamsin for ages and ages and ages. She says, yay, Kentish Soap. It's one of our guests that's coming on in the second part of the show. Tamsin is the founder of Smug Vegan Shop as well. So hello, Tamsin. And, yep, it's a great interview that we had with John Waddy of Kentish Soap. And that's going to come up in the second half of the show just after 2 p.m. What else have we got here? Deborah Turner, the next FSB Kent Women in Business virtual brunch is taking place on the 25th of February. She says it's a perfect opportunity to promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in the breakout rooms. I've got some more details on that, which I'll read out later on the show and give you a link if you want to book it. Okay, what else we got? Oh, the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Looking forward to our weekly fix of Business Bunker. Although we can't always listen live, we always listen on the catch-up. Well, thank you, Bev and Tony. Bev and Tony of Chips and Dinks are amazing stuff. During lockdown, they normally do car repairs, you know, chips, dinks, wheels and all that kind of stuff. But it's amazing the kind of stuff that they can repair, not just cars. And in fact, they did a fantastic job on refurbishing a dining room table I had. But during the lockdown, they've been making loads of stuff out of recycled things, recycled bits of furniture. Absolutely brilliant. It's worth following their Twitter handle just to see the stuff that they're recycling. And their Twitter handle is Chips and A-N-D, Chips and Dinks. Give them a follow. They're brilliant. Whitcombe HR. Our top tip is to use a wellness action plan to help identify what keeps your employees happy and healthy and what may impact their mental health. WAP, which is the Wellness Action Plan, is a great place to start. If you want to find out more about it, give them a follow on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Whitcombe, that's WHITCOMBEHR, all one word, Whitcombe HR. Give them a follow, find out about a Wellness Action Plan for your employees and colleagues. bit of news from closer to home. It's Fruitworks' 9th birthday today. 9 years ago today, we opened the doors to the amazing people of Kent. We'd like to say a thank you to every single person who has supported us, and hopefully get to see you all again very soon when we will open the doors once we're allowed to our new event space, and we'll invite you all along for a look round and a catch up and to say hello to you all at a Fruitworks Create event. But 9 years old today, doesn't time fly when you're having fun? It's been a journey. It's been a journey. The Recovery Well, Sandra, morning Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, Business Funker. Hope you have a great show. I would love a shout out for the Recovery Well, please. Share my crowdfunder to open a wellbeing hub in Ramsgate in return for free treatments offered to local NHS or other rewards. So the easiest way to find out more about that is to follow Sandra on the Twitter, and her Twitter handle is Recovery Well, all one word, Recovery Well. Give her a follow, find out more about her crowdfunder to open a wellbeing hub in Ramsgate. Construction Expo South East have tweeted, Clark Roofing have recently celebrated 70 years and one of the largest family-run roofing and construction companies in the South East. They're one of the exhibitors at Construction Expo 2021 on the 21st of October. You can find out about that expo and book your free tickets by going to constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. Alison Palmer, business across the UK can access over 40 networking and training events a week through the Federation of Small Business, and we couldn't do it without our volunteers. She's got a hashtag going, FSB Volunteer Champions. So give Alison a follow. It's FSB Kent is her Twitter handle, and you can find out more about all the great stuff that's happening with the FSB. In the second part of the show, again, we do have an FSB news roundup where we will cover a lot of the things that are going on in Kent and the South East with the FSB. Tracy Ferguson, Tazzy64 on Twitter. Another great lineup of guests on the Business Bunker show. I'll be listening to the replay this week as I have a Prince's Trust training session today. Well, I hope your training session goes really, really well. I know it will, Tracy, because you're brilliant, and I've seen you do so many of them. And the attendees always absolutely love them because they're fantastic sessions. So we'll catch you on the catch-up. Okay. Martin Reeves of Charity Buddy. Could I have a mention on the show, please, Paul? Of course you can, Martin. Martin runs Charity Buddy. They're a fundraising organisation for local charities, and you can follow Martin on the Twitter at charity_buddy. Right, I think it's time for a bit of cheesy tunage. What do you reckon? A bit of Slade, I think.
Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
My oh my, Slade there. I caught up last week with the absolutely gorgeous Samantha Kelly, otherwise known as the Tweeting Goddess on Twitter. I first met Sam virtually. I've never met her in real life. I've met her virtually many, many years ago. She was an early adopter of social media, one of the people that really inspired me to get involved with Twitter. So I caught up with Sam last week about some of the things she's up to. Let's have a listen to what she had to say.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show Samantha Kelly. I think you have been on before, but it was an awfully long time ago, Sam. Sam is based in Rosslare over in Wexford in Ireland. And I believe Rosslare is also sometimes known as Ballygarry. Is that right?
Oh, gosh, no. That's Ballygallan would be the one. There's lots of Ballys down here.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, you're in Rosslare Harbour, which is the harbour down there in Wexford. One of the great pleasures I had a couple of years ago is I used to regularly watch you presenting Wexford Matters on Sky TV.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's
yeah, so on a Sunday evening. Yeah. And I used to love that program. You were brilliant. And it was everything I like about local communication, you know, where you took a camera crew round and you just interviewed local. Yeah. I was going to say celebrities, but of course they weren't celebrities until you interviewed them. They were just local.
Yeah, it was lovely actually. Yeah, just local, normal people like us, you know, like normal people. And not that celebrities aren't normal, but you know, but it was people that would never get an opportunity like that. Yeah, exactly.
And that was the beauty of that program, and it was so lovely, and I was a regular fan of it, and it's a shame it's not on any longer. But anyway, I mean, Sam, you're known as the Tweeting Goddess on Twitter, and you were one of those. You were one of the first people to adopt social media as a way of building a community and talking to people. And whilst you're based over there in the Republic of Ireland, you did do quite a few things over here in the UK too. You built up a large, large following. And now, of course, you're still active in things and you're doing some really interesting stuff. So why don't you give the listeners a bit of background about you and the kind of things you do and then what you're up to at the moment?
I will, and apologies to the listeners. There's a few messages coming in there. You see, when you work at my job, you get lots of messages during the day. So apologies for that. So I started out, as you said, I think I was on about 7 years ago or something. I had a different business called Funky Goddess. And I realized, like in the evenings when the children were asleep, I was a lone parent at the time, and I discovered Twitter through my sister. And I remember just feeling a bit lonely. So I wanted to connect with other humans. And that's really how I started to notice the power of Twitter in particular, but social media. And I knew that I could actually get my message out to a global audience. You know, I wouldn't have traveled to the UK much at all. And then all of a sudden I was traveling to the UK. I was speaking at conferences. I ended up speaking in San Diego, in New Zealand, in Hong Kong. Like, it was just crazy, but it was all because I discovered something that I loved, and I discovered Twitter. I was very good at it, and I discovered that people buy from people. And I never went to college or anything, so you know, I did get a bit of grief from my haters over that, the fact that I hadn't got any qualifications, but what I was doing was working. And it's like, there's a lady, Kate Bradley, I must introduce you to her, she's from Try Lately. She always says, you know, the haters would be saying, oh, you're not doing it right, but like she would just say, yeah, but it's working.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. And you know, that's very true, Sam. There's lots of people that kind of try and pick on you on social media, and sadly, over the last couple of years, social media has kind of, some of it has degenerated into a bit of a mess, and people just screaming at each other.
You know,
Yeah, no, go on.
Yeah, but you know what? Yes, but you know what? None of those are in my feed. None of those people.
Yeah.
Because that's the beauty of Twitter and the beauty of building relationships is it's like real life. Just find the people who are like-minded. Find the people who get you and what you're doing. Find the support network, that good people around you. It's like real life. And then just start hanging out with them and just forget about the rest, you know? Just, you know, you don't even have to follow these people. You know?
Absolutely, and that's tremendous advice. We still get lots of small businesses and medium-sized businesses that go, oh, no, social media, no, it's not for me. I can't use it. It's a hotbed of, you know, degenerate goings-on. And just as you said, I mean, the answer to that is to not get involved. If anybody turns up on your feed that you don't want, mute them or block them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's about building a community of followers that you're interested in and who are interested in you.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's 98% of people are really good, like, and genuinely, especially through this pandemic, I'll tell you, this has sorted the men out from the boys.
Yeah.
The people who are standing out right now are the people who are helping others, who are showing hope, compassion, and inspiring.
Yep.
And sharing their knowledge. And I did a lot of free stuff when the pandemic first hit because I said, God, you know, there's a lot of people actually don't even know how to do a Zoom call. How are they going to cope? So I actually did loads of webinars on how to do a webinar, how to, you know, meet online, how simple little things. And it was to my credit, like it's really shown me, I've really stood out because I didn't stay quiet. I didn't take weeks off. I went straight in there and I said, right, how can I help you? You know, and that made me stand out. And even though I did some of those things for free, I actually got clients. I have three clients now that I have never even met in real life.
Yep.
You know, and they're just from people that have actually been watching me, that wanted to work with me. And so please don't underestimate the power of social media and Twitter in particular. If your audience are aged 35 to 55, professional, urban, if you, like, even an artist, there was an artist on Twitter yesterday, but she works as well. So she was like, oh, I don't know, I'd be afraid to put my stuff up there. I said, look, just put a picture of your stuff up and watch what happens. And she put the picture up and she was like, oh my God, Sam, I don't know what's after happening. Like, she got three people asking how much they were. So that's three potential sales. You know, that was just in the space of half an hour. On Twitter, because people, more people than ever on social media at the moment, more people than ever are looking to learn to connect. Like, they're missing that connection, they're missing that sense of community. You know, and this is a really good time to start showing people what you do and putting up links for people to buy your stuff. But it's really about relationships first. People won't buy from you unless they know, like, and trust you. And that know, like, and trust factor is huge. Now, I've learned all this as I've gone along, but in fairness, I would have been really good at customer service and sales, you know, for years before that. So I suppose that kind of helped me. But if you have a business, the first thing you need to be able to do is to sell. And a lot of people that start a business, they actually don't know how to do a sale. They don't know how to market themselves. And they, and one thing I've heard a lot, Paul, I don't know if you've heard this, is that oh God, I don't want people to think I'm this, or I don't want people to think. Who cares what they think? Do they have a business? Are they working 24 hours a day to keep their business going? I don't think so. Right. I heard a really good quote from Morgan Freeman saying, don't ever take criticism from someone you would never go to for advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I like.
You know, we tend to think of it as a peculiarly British trait, but it sounds like the Irish suffer this too, where you know, selling stuff is frowned on, and you think, well, how on earth are we supposed to be in business? How on earth are we supposed to make money? How on earth are we supposed to pay a mortgage and make a living if we don't sell what we do? And it's really odd, isn't it? It's really odd. But coming back to one of the things you kind of highlighted when you were talking just then, is that the pandemic has the only reason that we're able to stay locked down is because of digital and social media. In my opinion, if we didn't have social media, if we didn't have digital tools like Zoom, there's no way this could happen. Absolutely no way, because we just couldn't survive. And I'm interested in what's happening in the Republic. Over here in the UK, a lot of small local businesses have moved online. So my local store now does online deliveries. They do click and collect. They've put up websites where you can order stuff, quickly drive down there when it's not snowing, and pick up what you've ordered. And that's been a revelation to small local businesses. Is it the same in the Republic?
Oh my gosh, I've been saying it for years. You've been saying it for years. Like, get a website, get online. People are searching for what they want and they're searching for your business. It was a major panic station for some businesses. They were like, what? Oh no, I have to get a website. It's like, hello, we've been telling you this for years. You know, and it was really kind of a wake-up call for a lot of them. It's like, oh no, we have one particular store here. A big, you probably have it over there, Primark. It's Penny's, Primark. They're not online. They have no website. And like I'd say they're like, oh, whose idea was it not to do a website? You know, and I'd say someone's in trouble there. But I mean, this is something that we weren't expecting. But at the same time, anyone, like if I go to a strange town that I don't know, the first thing I do is I search for a good restaurant. And I go searching online. And that's what I do. So it's kind of like word of mouth on speed, social media is. But I think businesses are copping on to that now. But I do love the fact that like some restaurants, like the amount of people who adapted and pivoted was just lovely to see. I could see the real one guy in particular, Michael, he had a restaurant and he started doing takeaway of his food. And it's not takeaway food. It's really good gourmet food. And he started doing takeaway and he is flying it out the door. And then another lady, one of my clients, Sonia, actually it was lovely because I had a 6-step program where I taught people how to get online and I taught people all of this before the pandemic. So one of my clients was a yoga teacher. And so all of a sudden she was ready. She had, it's okay. I have online classes. And she was ready to go. She was like, oh my God, if I hadn't done your course, this would have taken me so much longer, because now she's like, I don't think I'll bother hiring out the local hall now. She has clients in America, you know, she's clients in America and all over the world. And then another lady, Sonia, had a music school and she was like, how do I do this? A music school. Guess what? She's doing online lessons. Online lessons. They're all gone online.
Absolutely. And I think a number of small businesses here have suddenly realized the power, you know, that you're quite right. They've been scared to go online because they don't understand the technology. They don't know how to do it, and they weren't prepared to go and find out how to do it. They preferred to stick with what they knew. But because they've been forced into it, because there's no other way, they've suddenly, you know, the amount of businesses that have said to me, my God, do you know what? This is really, it's easier than actually having a store. We're getting more people buying from us than used to come to the shop.
I know.
And you think, we have been telling you that for quite a while. But I guess one of the, if there is a positive out of this pandemic, is that a lot of businesses have suddenly been forced to realize that. And I think when it's over and they unlock us, we're never going to go back to how they did it before. I think we're always going to have at least a hybrid version of what we do. And it's funny you should mention yoga. I own a community workspace in Canterbury, and we used to do yoga classes there. You know, we had yoga teachers come in and we moved those online, and they've been, as you say, they've been more popular. They get more people doing the online class than actually turned up to the live class.
Yeah. And sometimes that, and for me, this is why when I created my Women's Inspire Network, I found it difficult to get to these events. I found it difficult to get the childcare, to get the, especially as a lone parent, getting childcare, going up for a night in a hotel, blah, blah, blah. And then this way I do my events online, but I always had that. I always knew there was people like me that actually couldn't get out and do things. They were either caring for a parent or they had a child with special needs or whatever. So I knew that. And that's why our membership's gone up 28% during this pandemic, people finally, they finally understand what a Zoom is. They finally understand that what a webinar is. They finally understand that actually I can make really good friends online and I can really get business online without even having to go to a big event or, you know, travel. Or do you know what I love about all this, Paul? Mm. I love the fact that it eliminates that meeting that could have been an email.
Yeah, absolutely.
It eliminates. I'll never forget, there was a potential sponsor for my conference and I drove all the way up to Dublin, got childcare, went to the meeting and they said, well, actually, we're not actually interested. And I was like, oh my God. Like, as a small business owner, I'm sure lots of people can identify with this. They don't seem to realize that you actually got childcare. You went and expensive petrol and diesel and went up and then they just said no. They could have said that in an email.
Sure.
You know, and that was the thing that I love about this, is it eliminates all of that.
Absolutely. We talk about this quite a lot, but yet people don't understand the benefit of doing things this way, environmentally. Time-wise, as you say, people with childcare issues, and I'm sure it's the same there as it is here. You know, most of our schools are closed, so we got kids at home. We got kids at home doing online schooling. You know, you can't just drop everything, jump in a car, go visit someone, and then they go, no, we don't want to do that. It's just crazy. Okay, what I want to do is I want you to tell us about Women Inspire, because it's a little bit crazy itself, because there's not a shortage of online groups or networks. So what made you want to do it? Well, first of all, tell us what it is, and then tell us what made you want to do it and jump into that space.
Well, actually, it was kind of by accident, which a lot of things do be that work, especially with me. But it was like I noticed the Women's Inspire Network. I noticed that myself, I was lonely working from home. I felt isolated and I was frustrated because a lot of business meetings were like morning meetings, 7 a.m. or whatever. And I was like, I can't go to that. I have to do a school run, you know. And I just found it increasingly frustrating. And I knew that there were other people like me building viable businesses. Like, we weren't airy, fairy, fluffy, you know, we're real businesses online. And I could see that a lot of businesses weren't embracing the online space. And I knew that with online, I could reach a global audience. So I said, right, I'm going to build a network. And yes, you're right. A lot of people are like, oh, but there's so many women's networks. There's so many out there. I said, yeah, but there isn't one like mine.
Right.
And the USP is me. And it's the same for anyone listening here tonight. Your USP is you. Your unique selling point is you. People buy from people. And if you give value, people will pay to be part of that. So if you're giving value where they're actually learning, they're getting PR opportunities. Like, I have 57,000 followers on Twitter. So if one of my members tags me, I retweet her business. Like, that's in itself is worth 20 a month, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, the thing is, I knew I could create a community of people, and I needed it too, Paul. I needed other people around me where I could say, hang on, that customer hasn't paid, and maybe, am I going mad here? Because you sometimes in my own head, I can go a bit mad, like, and I'd be thinking, oh, maybe it's my fault. It's not my fault. Customer has to pay, and it doesn't matter. You don't have to be real nice. Not all customers are meant to be your customers, you know, so you can't say no. And these are all things that I learned, but it was nice to have someone else to talk to about that and say, well, actually, I'm not mad. I'm right, you know, so that was kind of nice. And then there was other things that I'm not good at. I'm not great on Instagram. I am not great at doing newsletters. Well, I actually don't have the time. So I started hiring people who were really good at the stuff that I'm not good at. Like, one thing I'm terrible at is accounts and invoicing and all. I'm terrible. So I have a virtual assistant and she does all that. Joanne does that for me. And that's why I knew I could see how important it was for me to have a network. I was missing that water cooler moment. I mean, even chatting to you today is lovely, you know, because it is nice. We do need that human connection. So I decided I'd make it the biggest online global network in the world. I have it written up here on my whiteboard. So, I mean, this is I know that there's a market there. I knew there was a gap there. But when the pandemic hit, one thing I thought straight away was, oh, no, people are going to cancel their membership. because of financial or whatever. And I said, I'm going to have to add more value. So instead of worrying about them cancelling, I added more value so they knew, hang on, I need to stay here because I'm getting more value. So I just started interviewing people who, you know, these big decision makers and stuff that I couldn't normally get. Guess what? They were working from home and they had more time. So they were more available. So I was able to get really cool people that they wanted to engage with. We had a big conference as well that was planned in October and I took it online. And I got Nellie Olson from Little House in the Prairie, Alison, and she was lovely. And I met her on Twitter. So I just reached out to her and I asked her, would she speak at my conference? And the real buzz was we had a networking thing afterwards. And one of the women was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to Nellie Olson.
Right.
You know, and it was just like, it was just magical, you know. Yeah. And that's the power of online. You can reach people that you probably wouldn't normally get to interview or hang out with, and you can hang out with them, you know.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right, Sam. You know, if you provide value, if you provide a service, if you provide quality, if you help people, people will pay for it. You know, a few years ago, everything allegedly was free, you know. The whole digital space was free. But basically, that was just while the platforms were building users were building a user base. Now, you know, it is about the quality. It is about what we do. Okay. We're kind of running out of time. Yep. So give us a shout out for how people can find out about Women Inspire and join in with what you're doing.
Okay, it's Women's Inspire with an S. Women's Inspire Network. See, it's WIN, win, stick with the winners. So it's Women's Inspire Network and it's womensinspirenetwork.com. And we also have an event on the 8th of March if anyone wants to come along. And men are welcome too, by the way, if you want to come along to the event, 8th of March. And I've kept the ticket prices low because I feel it's a lot of people are struggling. But, you know, again, value, give value, you know. And also don't forget, if anyone likes St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day, I'm also the brand ambassador for Sober St. Patrick's Day. So do check them out as well. The hashtag Sober St. Patrick's Day on the 17th of March. I'd love to see you there.
I want to talk about that very briefly as well, because that's that's a challenge, isn't it? Sober St. Patrick's Day. Now, that is a challenge, you know, without being stereotypical or racist here. Having a sober St. Patrick's celebration. Tell us about that. Tell us why you're doing that. Tell us how you see that unfolding.
Well, actually, I was contacted. Don't ever underestimate the power you can have on someone in an audience. And it could be just one person. I was speaking at an event in New York and a lady in the audience loved the fact that I shared that I'm almost 13 years sober. Yeah. So I got rid of alcohol. It was affecting me and my family and I decided to get rid of it. And so this lady remembered that I'd share that, and the Sober St. Patrick's Day is held in New York every year. It was created by Bill Spencer, and this year, obviously, they can't hold it in real life. So she said, I know just the girl that can help us to do this virtually. And so hence, I'm involved in Sober St. Patrick's Day. And it's just a place, look, you know, you can come along and you can watch and have a drink if you want. It's not about that. We're not telling you not to drink. We're just saying, look, if you don't particularly like the whole drinking scene, this is just going virtually this year. And we might as well make it a global celebration, celebrating the other things. Like you mentioned, the stereotypical thing. Every time I go to speak at an event in America, they ask me, oh, you must love Guinness or you must love whiskey. Yeah, sure. And I'm like, oh, my God. Hello, there's beautiful culture. There's music. There's food. The food space in Ireland has exploded. It's amazing. So we just want to highlight the other part that people don't really talk about of Ireland.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic, Sam. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
If you want to find out more from Sam, the best thing to do is follow her on Twitter. Tweeting Goddess is her Twitter handle. Give her a follow on Twitter. Do check out the Women Inspire Network. Do have a look at Sober St. Pat's as well, because that's going to be a lot of fun. For the moment, Sam, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.
You too. My pleasure. See ya.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back. That was the fantastic Samantha Kelly, the tweeting goddess on Twitter, Women's Inspired Network, and Sober St. Pat's as well. What a fantastic thing that she's doing with both of those things, to be honest. It was lovely to catch up with her. Do give her a follow on Twitter and do catch up with the things that are going on. I've got a tweet from Kim Stevens, Care in Kent. She says, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please, for Kent, Care in Kent. Home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the at-home care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see our teams out and about, please give us a wave. Absolutely. That's the Care in Kent team in Ashford and Folkestone. I've got a couple of other tweets here I want to read before we move on to the next segment. Let me just find them. Bear with me one second. There's so much going on. Intune PR, Darren said, I was going to listen to the new podcast by Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen, but I'll have to wait because I want to listen to the Business Bunker first. Well, thank you for that, Darren. It's a fine choice that you make there. Telcare, the telecom systems provider from over there on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. It's Business Bunker with Vanilla Web doing a super job of keeping us up to date with business news, and we love listening to the Tweeting Goddess. Thank you for that, and thank you for your support to the Telcare team. You fantastic supporters of the Business Bunker show. Here we go. Would read Tunwells Woody is their Twitter handle. Tunwells Woodies. W-O-O-D-I-E-S, Tunwells Woodies. Folks, start planning your restart now with your free 5-day sell more stuff challenge. The perfect way to get your business ready to start firing on all cylinders again as things unlock. And there's a website you can go to, which is, I think I've got this right, mentors.woodread. That's wood, W-O-O-D. woodread.com, mentors.woodread.com. Check that out for their sell more stuff challenge. And they say, if your listeners want a practical, actionable business building advice delivered to your inbox every month, sign up for our free copy of Fast Track. And the easiest thing, because a lot of these links have been shortened, so I can't read them all. The easiest thing is to follow them on the Twitter, and you can see all of this. It's Tunwells, T-U-N-W-E-L-L-S, Woodies, W-O-O-D-I-E-S, Tunwells Woodies. Give them a follow on the Twitter, and find about the Sell More Stuff Challenge and their regular newsletters. I caught up with Jules recently. Let's hear what she had to rant about.
It's that time of the week again when I catch up with Jules. I don't look forward to this. It's a blooming nightmare. Trying to get her organised. This Zoom call has now taken longer to set up than I actually had time to do the call.
I just think you're getting more and more curmudgeonly. The more you're locked in, the less patient you've become.
And I wasn't very patient to start with.
No.
Anyway, how are you?
I'm very well. I think I'm going to buy an ambulance, basically, because yesterday I might just as well, Paul, because yesterday my mum reminded me that it was her physio with this lovely Max, who she's got. My mum is 90, for those who don't know, Ruth, and she's got a crush on this young Max, who's about 26, and he's been brilliant with her, and so she had physio, so she reminded me, and it was 3 weeks ago, and I just thought, where did the 3 weeks go? Where did it go? And so I trundle along, and I'm waiting in the car park for an hour while she has her physio. And then got home, made the new husband some lunch. He was very stressed. He's, got a lot on with got a very nice FT story coming out. I think it's out today, which I'll be doing social media on later on for one of our clients, Azza. And then made lunch, cleared that away, and then spent an hour at the vets with Cassie. So.
Right, but you haven't explained why you need an ambulance yet.
Well, this is the thing, because all I do is drive people.
Transport people
to various medical health appointments. Right. Meanwhile, my shoulder, look, I'm doing this, which is very painful, and it's, what do they call it? There's a word for it, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And
Shoulder pain.
Yeah, and I had a steroid injection about 2 years ago, and it was like a miracle, but it's worn off.
Right.
And it's bone on bone. It's very painful. And
talking about injections, have you had your jab yet? Your coronavirus?
No. Have you?
I got a letter.
Oh, you've got. They're not still writing to people, are they?
Yeah, I got a letter. I got a letter from the NHS. It says, because you're so old and obese, you fat git, you need to have a. This is exactly what it said. You need to have a jab.
All right.
Well, that's what it said. And then it said, but ignore this letter because your GP will contact you when it's time.
So that letter has cost how much?
God knows. They probably sent it 3 months ago.
It's funny you should say that, because my mum's given me another one of her endless letters that she gets from the NHS.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tweet it out later, and I've just got to take off her details. It said, you've had one jab, but you know she's 90. There's this long reaming letter saying you mustn't go out, it's very infectious, don't go to shops, practically terrifying the life out of her. Her last jab was a good 6-7 weeks ago. It's her first jab, and as listeners will know, it was messed up because they wrote to her and she never got the letter until a month later. So she's way behind on the jab. She should have had two by now at the age of 90, but she's going to wait 11 weeks now. So this letter then says, if you want to, she's 90, if you want to give this letter to your employer to show that you don't have to work, you know, that you're on furlough, it's just ridiculous. And she said, I get so many of these letters. She said, about 8 months.
The whole thing's nonsense. The whole thing is a complete pile of nonsense. Yeah. They're talking about having to have a vaccine passport to do things, to work and do. And then they tell you that the vaccine doesn't do anything. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't stop you spreading it. So why would you need to tell anyone you've had it? Because it makes not a blind bit of difference, apparently. So who knows?
But also, all the money spent, the admin sending out these letters is just balmy. And yet she gets a lovely little text for her physio. Yeah. You know, here's your physio appointment, ding, in her phone.
Yeah.
So, but snail mail. It is a shambles. And Matt Hancock says he's booked his holiday in Cornwall. And then we're told we can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all rather strange. Yeah. And I think people are, we've all done our best. My nails are bitten to the quick now because I'm, the minute I sit down to watch telly in the evening, I just bite my nails. And I think that's a nervous habit, isn't it?
I don't know, I haven't got any nails. I mean, what can you say? I'm just continually staggered by what our government are doing. You start to think about some of these conspiracy theories and go, maybe they've got a point here, because I can't understand what the hell you're doing otherwise.
I would agree, but then it's now, it's worldwide. It's, you know,
that's part of the problem for me, is that all the Western governments are doing exactly the same, but it's only Western governments, nobody else is. All the Western governments are doing the same, but the message they're giving you is just nonsense. It says you must have a jab, but the jab doesn't do anything. It doesn't stop you getting it. It doesn't stop you passing it on. So what does it do? I mean,
the other thing is, will we be able to have a choice as to which jab we have? Which, you know, I travel a lot to America, to South Africa. Yep. We know that the Oxford one doesn't work for the South African strain.
Well, we think, maybe, who knows?
That's what they last said, anyway.
You can keep this going forever.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have a problem with every variant that comes out of a flu virus, then there is no end to it. So I don't know where they're going with this. But they need to get themselves sorted out, because, I don't think I don't think they'll keep the lid on it. If I'm really honest, if we get past Easter and we're still locked down, I just think people are going to start taking things into their own hands and going, do you know what? Yeah. I'm not doing it anymore. You've already seen that in Italy and Greece and Austria, where people have just opened restaurants and gone, you know, there's more of us than you. Off you go, you know.
I think the police have got a terrible job, and I'm a little bit upset that the police haven't been frontline jabbed if they wanted it, because they are putting themselves at risk. And I saw some pictures in the papers of them helplessly watching people on toboggans, you know, in the snow and that. You know, are they supposed to go and break up children that are on the snow? I mean, where I am, the kiddies are all out. It's half term already. Yeah. I made a mistake of saying on Facebook, half term, haven't they missed enough school? And I got slated by some parents and some mothers who said they needed a break. Well, you know, I'm a bit tough, and I just think they have missed an awful lot of school.
Yeah, well, of course, the thing is, though, Jules, that parents need a break as well.
Oh, yeah. But are they getting a break if it's half term? No.
Let me tell you, it's a damn sight easier finding something to play with than it is trying to get your kids to do schoolwork online.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, what else have you been up to aside from all the ranting and anything interesting?
Well, we had, of course, Valentine's Day, and we had a really nice fish platter.
Did you go anywhere nice for that?
And yeah, my lounge.
All right, okay.
But I did order something from a local company who is, you'll like this, Holy Mackerel.
And he
delivered a meal for two, a Valentine's meal for two, for me and my new husband. And there was a little bit of prep to do, which my new husband did. I sat there swigging.
Right.
And we played some music and stuff. It was very, very good. So Holy Mackerel, check them out.
Was it mackerel that they sent?
No, it was halibut. And do you know what, Paul? I'd forgotten how nice halibut is.
Halibut steak, yeah.
Oh, it was really nice. And I'd forgotten.
Was it in a sauce?
It was in a beautiful champagne sauce.
Lovely.
Gorgeous. So Holy Mackerel, check him out. He does 30 meals just on a Friday and a Saturday.
Fantastic. I haven't had a halibut steak for a long time, but it's lovely.
It was delicious. So nice to see that businesses are trying. And of course, my lovely Staines farm shop, as ever, have sourced me some plantains again.
Fantastic.
Because I whip up some little pita breads, but they're not really breads. They're tapioca flour and plantain. That's all it is. And it puffs up and you make it into a sandwich.
Wow.
There's a picture on my Twitter.
Hold on.
Do you like my little shawl?
No, hold on. I'm trying to work out what a pita bread made of banana looks like, to be honest. There you go.
It's on my Twitter. I'll send you a lovely photo.
Yeah, I have seen it. I didn't realise that's what it was.
Yeah, because it's all root.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you read an email?
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm bored talking to you now. Read an email.
First of all, before I do, I've got a little sticky note on my desktop, which is to remind everyone that the Taste of Kent Awards are on, and the voting ends on about the 20th. This is off the top of my head because I can't find the sticky, but it's the 20-ish something of February, so about the 24th of February voting ends, maybe the 26th. So do go on and vote for your favourite small business Taste of Kent Awards.
Okay.
I know Staines Farm are on there and Whitstable Produce in my area. And then we've had some emails, and do send your emails in to what's your email? hello@bizradio.co.uk. You can send them. Remember, they're for radio, so keep them nice and succinct. Is that a word? I think it is. We've had an email from Emma, and she says, "Hello, Business Bunker. I'm the project coordinator for the local branch of the Hygiene Bank." This sounds interesting.
Mm.
"I started the project in November 2019 and currently run from my home in Cliff Woods." And that's Cliff Woods. "I work with the local community by collecting donations of new or unused toiletries and personal hygiene items. We are like a food bank, but for hygiene products. The products are then sorted and given out to a network of organisations, schools and services across the whole of Medway that support those vulnerable or struggling in our community and who find themselves in crisis. I wanted to share this new initiative, and the project has just launched in conjunction with Aviva. and we're trying to raise much needed funds to purchase hygiene essentials and fill the gaps in public donations and enable us to extend our schools partnership and support more local disadvantaged children and families who are in crisis. We are raising much needed funds to purchase hygiene essentials to enable us to extend their schools partnership and support more local disadvantaged children and families in crisis. We are now, says Emma, the only hygiene bank project in Medway, and we need the support of the local community in order to grow and cope with increased demand on their invaluable service. A donation of £5 will help purchase a selection of hygiene basics that for so many of us are now out of reach luxuries. And you can go to avivacommunityfund.co.uk with a / THBstrood, H-O-O, who, Peninsula. I'm sure that'll be on Kent Business Radio after the show. And that's from Emma, and it's the Hygiene Bank. Very interesting.
Fantastic.
And very needed, I would say.
Yeah.
And then also...
But before you do that, I was trying to find the date for the Taste of Kent
Awards.
And I've looked at their website, I've looked at their Twitter handle. They don't seem to bother to tell you when it is. Here we go. Closing date for entries is Sunday, the 7th of March.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, I read February, but I probably misread it. Well done, and you're like a little terrier, aren't you, when you get going?
Yeah. Or a beagle.
HM Treasury and British Business Bank have released full details of the Pay As You Grow scheme. It's confirmed that the scheme will enable businesses who have started repaying their bounce back loans to request an extension of their loan term to 10 years from 6 years at the same fixed interest rate of 2.5%. They can reduce their monthly repayments for 6 months by paying interest only, and this option is available up to 3 times during the term of their bounce back loan, and take a repayment holiday for up to 6 months. This option is available once during their term of their bounce back loan, and you can find more info about this at BCC's Coronavirus Hub. So that's the British Business Bank, and details will be on Kent Business Radio after the show. Also, last but not least, we have an ambitious transformation of an 18th century pub. Now, we like this kind of thing, don't we, Paul?
Yeah, Andrews? Absolutely.
It was a tired drinker's local. I don't know whether the drinkers were tired or the pub. I'm not quite
both
sure.
Both, probably.
To a modern and quirky inn, and it will take place after lockdown. Now, we love a quirky inn, don't we?
We do.
So it's a £650,000 project at the Cross Keys in Canterbury, and it's been stalled by the pandemic, having previously hit a stumbling block when a 20-foot deep shaft collapsed in the men's toilets.
It happens.
Somebody must have had a bad...
move on.
The owners are Star Pubs and Bars, and they say it's exciting about starting the works, and it's already searching for a new tenant to take on the Oaten Hill site. I'm trying to think where this is. Oaten Hill.
Not sure.
Cross Keys. Star Pub says it hopes the renovation will expand the pub's target demographic and appeal to thousands of university students in the city. That counts us out then.
Mm.
On its website, it says transformational works will reposition the Cross Keys from a tired drinker's local into a modern and quirky space perfect for the town's discerning customers and growing student population. Inside the trade area will be decorated with an attractive mix of vintage prints, illuminated signage and upcycled furniture. I love that. We do love a pub and we need them, and I really miss hospitality. I really do. Do you know what I found myself doing the other day, Paul Andrews?
What's
that? Awful. You know the food caddy?
Yeah.
Well, you know that we take it out, and you know I've got upside down house, so my kitchen's upstairs. So new husband often trots it out, and then he forgets it because he's a bit batty, and he needs to take fish oils daily, and he leaves it on the front doorstep. So I went to pick it up, and I actually found myself thinking, oh, I shouldn't touch this because someone else has touched it.
Yeah,
that's how ingrained it's got.
Mm.
And that's why I'm biting my nails, I think, because it's just changed everything. And I'm having lots of Zoom cocktails with friends and things, but it's not the same.
You're right.
It's actually quite exhausting having a Zoom cocktail, in, you know.
You're right. And just to be serious for a moment, we have an epidemic of mental health issues about to unfold due to this. And people aren't paying enough attention to it. And for what it's worth, I don't know if you saw the story that I covered last week at the end of the show, but the mental health cafe revivals at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable.
Yeah, that was me that sent you that, young man.
Yeah, they've been evicted. And that's outrageous. It's outrageous at the best of times, but it's doubly outrageous under current circumstances.
And they were paying their rent, because it was sent to me in the hope that we could help. And they were paying their rent, but there was no signed lease. They had no signed lease.
Well, they'd signed the lease, but the Horsebridge Centre hadn't. They had a 10-year lease. They'd been there for a while. They'd signed the lease, but Horsebridge hadn't. And then they followed it up and said, look, when are you going to sign the lease? And they actually evicted them. It's outrageous. Outrageous.
They'd spent money, hadn't they, on
a lot
furniture.
Of 40 grand. 40 grand.
33,000, think it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, our friend John Nurden is on the committee there. And I know about four people on the committee, so I will follow that up and see. Yeah. It does seem a very strange thing to do at such a time.
Yeah.
You know, when, as you say, people just need these facilities desperately.
Yeah. We've got to go because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
It's lovely to talk to you as always and have our little rant session.
Get it off our chest.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be good when we can get back in the studio because that'll make it a lot easier.
I know. Once you've had your jab and I've had your jab, that won't make any difference, but never mind.
But hopefully, yeah. Anyway, look, you stay safe. Thanks for that. We'll see you soon. Take care.
That was Jules again having a bit of a rant up. It's always good to catch up with her. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom now. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to, loads of things to cover and an FSB news roundup. Let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul.